This is Foodie Call on the G1 podcast.
James, you want to get us started?
Yep. James here.
Thomas.
I am the Donut King GP, of course. And sitting next to me is Chuck, because I've revoked his self-introduction rights because he messed it up.
I'm Chuck.
Okay, so welcome back to Foodie Call on the G1 podcast. We're going to be jumping into our subject. But first, let's touch base with a few of our listeners. You know, you guys did that stream at in Wanju, the name of that place.
Sweet Oak.
Sweet Oak, right? I only got to catch a little bit of it. I didn't go back and watch it because I didn't. But anyway, some of my friends...
Why not?
Because I can't go out there and eat it. Like, just I have to really make time for that, you know?
Well, you could have watched.
All right, you want me to go back and watch?
Well, you should have watched it live.
I couldn't. I had obligations.
Obligations?
I have better things to do than to watch you eat.
Wow.
Hey, I thought you were here like our fearless
but
leader, producer. You know, like
some of my friends and our listeners don't have better things to do than to listen to us talk about eating.
Are you saying our listeners have
awesome.
nothing better to do? That's why they listen to us?
No.
That's insulting
to
our
listeners.
They're
very dedicated. They're very dedicated, much more than I am. My dedication
obviously
ends at recording and producing y'all, you three, and I guess myself. But somebody messaged me what I was going to say, and they said, hey, they're actually going to head out to Wanju for the New Year's solo. And they were like, yeah, I saw Chuck and Thomas's video stream, and everything they ate just seemed ridiculously good. So me and the wife here are going to go try it. So big shout out to our listener, Chuck.
Yeah.
And
just to give people some pointers, maybe some of the things that we had aren't available all days. So you might want to message them about the rib and the brisket. We went on a Monday, so we had to actually special order the Wagyu brisket and also the beef rib.
Yeah, so if you're watching this on YouTube, I'll go ahead and put a link on the video itself. And if not, then I'll put a link in the description on where you can find that stream of Chuck and Thomas. And I think Cinnabon was there, and Ethan was with you, right?
Yeah, Ethan was there.
Okay. James and I were not, so if you don't like us, then you can watch that, and that'll be a joy for you as well. Moving on to another user comment, actually, and this one, I feel like Chuck got a little bit worked up about. Ms. Rachel from YouTube said, said you're such a cute kid. When we put you on blast for how loud you chew on the last episode.
Well, that's two issues right there.
Okay, so what's the first, what's the bigger issue here, Thomas?
Well, Chuck chews like cow. That's the first issue. So that's the last time you're gonna eat on Foodie Call.
Wait, why is that the last time? Shouldn't it be that since I chew loudly or pronouncedly, whatever, I mean, I think I should be allowed to chew more. I think it's called Foodie Call, you know, like we should be eating sometimes.
It's not called Chewy Call.
I feel like you've been holding on to that one for a little while, Thomas.
I haven't. It just came to me, but I mean it was obnoxious.
It was obnoxious.
It was obnoxious.
Oh my goodness.
It's like
it was. I mean, I did call you out on it, not just, you know, to call you out. It was pretty loud. And it was a cookie, right?
Well, if you didn't say something at that time, I would have said something.
Cookies crunch. They make sounds.
But it wasn't a crunchy sound.
Hey, deal with it. Okay.
Anyway, no more eating for you.
Hey, I was doing some mindful eating, okay? You gotta feel the things in your mouth and enjoy it.
You know, there's a theory that the way you ingest the air as you have certain foods, you're oxidizing the food you're chewing, right? I'm not sure it applies to cookies, though. I think it's mostly for like soups and things like that.
Thanks. I like how you're like, oh, yeah, Chuck, there's this theory that probably, you know, I thought you were coming to help me out, but swiftly.
I'm just saying, you know, but not everybody who chews loud.
Usually that's slurping.
Yeah, it's slurping. That's right.
This is chewing.
So I chew loud. Okay.
Yes.
Is that the point?
Yes. Deal with it.
Yes.
He savors his food.
Yeah.
I'm savoring.
You know what? Usually when people chew really loud, it kind of like disgusts me. But yours didn't, man. And that's as far as I'm going to go with trying to jump in and save you there. The compliments.
So
that's all I got.
You're going to be in the Rachel camp and call him a cute kid.
No, I wouldn't. I wouldn't call it Hyungnim.
Oh, Hyungnim.
Oh, wow.
Okay, got me. I can't
this
call
is
him.
Like The first time I'm feeling, what is this, respect? It's weird getting this from you, man. No, I was just surprised because, you know, she was like, oh, like she called me a kid. And I'm like, I don't know. I mean, does that mean you guys just look really old or I'm the kid with the loud chew?
I think Rachel needs to like do a close up and a freeze frame on Chuck and take a look at his receding hairline.
Oh, wow. That was low.
Shots fired.
Shots fired. Wow.
Are you not the oldest guy on this podcast?
Yeah.
But he's been, you know, he's been firing shots since the first episode, actually.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. I mean, I think that's the relationship me and Chuck has. So.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's it makes sense that Grandpa would be the one to say I'm old, right?
Of course.
Yeah, and I guess for me, I am the guy whose preferences everybody shits on. I have good taste, for the record. I do. Mayonnaise, donuts, whatever it be, I stand by.
Says the man who looks like an acid trip today.
I think this looks cute.
What is that anyway?
It's I think it's the eyes. So there, if you're listening in through just audio, I'm wearing this kind of galactic pattern sweater.
I see, I, like, there are a bunch eyeballs. Of eyes.
Even your description does not make it sound like it could ever look good.
It looks great, Harry. You know, it's about what's underneath, and that's bulletproof. Okay. Okay. Yeah, that's right, baby. All right.
Good save.
Let's get into the podcast. The reason we're here. Today we're talking about food safety, sanitation standards. This topic brought to you by the lovely James Yu. You ever been called lovely?
No.
So what kind of, I asked for topics from you guys and James quickly came up with this topic. So I'm thinking, did something happen recently or where did this come up from? Was this something you spotted?
We actually discussed it last episode.
Yeah, and I'm just totally blanking.
I was recovering from food poisoning.
Oh yeah, that's right. That's right. And so, where was that from?
BK.
Not even from Korean food. So from Burger King. We'll touch upon that.
Of all places.
But was this topic actually inspired by Thomas, or is he just kind of talking about himself again?
No, well, he had that incident. And then I had a friend who was out in China, and she had listened to the podcast, and she was like, hey, you know, like in China, you have to be careful of so many different things out there. Like, you know, they have like fake eggs, fake rice, just bullshit out there.
Wow.
And she's just like, are there anything, you know, are there places like that in Korea? And I was like, well, not to that extent, but there are always things that you need to watch out for, you know, like when you go to Gwangjang Sijang and they have all of those places that do like the raw beef.
Yeah, yeah.
There are a couple that are really busy and the other 99% of them are empty, you know, and there's probably a very good reason for that.
Yeah. Have you yourself ever gotten food poisoning? You've been here over a decade, right?
I had food poisoning last year that I can only attribute to some really bad oysters that I had from a very well-respected steak place.
Okay. Was that steak place Korean?
I mean, it's an American-style steak place. Okay. You know, it's a dry-aged steak place. It's a very, very nice place. Still one of my favorite places, but just don't get the oysters.
Don't get the oysters there.
Don't get the oysters. Okay. Stick to the beef.
So my benchmark for food poisoning is about once every, I think, 5 years. If I get it once every 5 years, I don't look for outside factors. I'm like, oh, I just got unlucky. That's my average. Thomas, you had it pretty recently. Did you have it recently again before that?
I had it twice before moving here to Korea.
Okay.
In the States. And this is actually the first time that I had food poisoning. And what surprised me was actually that of all places, it was a international chain.
Yeah. That was quite surprising.
And it wasn't pleasant. And food poisoning is never pleasant, by the way. But it was not as bad as the two previous incidents that I had in the States where you have fluids coming out of every orifice that you have in your body. I mean, but this was only...
You don't know which to address first.
Just envisioning mucus coming out of your eyes. And like, it's so vivid graphic. Thank you.
So what's an indicator of food poisoning in the sense that, like, you know, you'd be like, I for sure got food poisoning.
Well, there's a lot of people actually that eat at restaurants and... their first claim is, oh, I got food poisoning because the food was bad or whatnot. And the thing that most people don't realize is that food poisoning, it actually takes time for your body to absorb these bacterias into the bloodstream. And what most people don't realize is that food poisoning, at the very, very minimum, takes minimum 12 hours to get into your system.
I see.
So
any instant reaction is probably not actual food poisoning.
Right. If you just ate a meal and you felt that the food wasn't fresh and you're thinking, oh my God, I'm feeling nauseous, it's not food poisoning. It's just your...
Psychological.
Psychosomatic.
Yeah. It's just your brain working, whatever. But,
so that's one thing we can call out our friends on.
But if you end up going to the bathroom at least 12 hours after the fact and... you start going to the bathroom and you're throwing up and you have diarrhea and it's just nonstop. That's food poisoning.
Yeah, the last time for me was actually in college, so much more than 5 years ago, which I said was my average. But in college, it was a Slurpee from 7-Eleven. And
really?
I knew it was a Slurpee because that was the only food that my roommate and I had shared. Like, we didn't have the same Slurpee, but we went to 7-Eleven together. And for... a period of like that was about 24 hours we were just inside out. Like, we could not take turns with the bathroom enough. And funny story about that is you know Pepto-Bismol, one of the little disclaimers it says is it turns your stool black. And I bought the Pepto-Bismol, but he had some and he didn't read the label. So when I got home and he was like, oh, I had some of your Pepto-Bismol, I hope you don't mind, and I said, okay, yeah. And then a few hours later it occurred to me to tell him that, and I was like, oh, by the way, you know, it changes your stool color. And he goes, oh, thank God. I was freaking out, man. I just, like, didn't know how to say anything. I thought it was... And, yeah, anyway.
That's the first time I ever heard that.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I've never heard this.
Yeah.
I mean, charcoal. I've had charcoal that does that, but I haven't had Pepto-Bismol that does that.
Yeah. Okay, so that's how food poisoning works. Chuck, you ever had a case here in Korea? I haven't had one here in Korea.
Partially the reason why I ask what the indicators were is because I think sometimes, like you said, I think there might be a lot of false positives where people think they have it, but they might not.
Right.
But I think I kind of suffer the other way. It's like I'm not exactly sure when I have it, in the sense of, for instance, like in the past week, there was like maybe about a 24-hour period where I had to just go to the restroom regularly. And it was like not good. I was like, something's wrong with my stomach. But I just assume that something's wrong with my stomach. I'm just, digesting poorly or something, or I have digestive issues maybe, you know? But
here's the thing. If you're not going to the bathroom and you're not releasing violently out of whatever orifice on a continual basis, on a regular basis, meaning I would say at least 5 or 6 times per hour.
Okay.
It's not food poisoning.
Okay.
The seriousness of which, like, is on your face right now.
Yeah,
is
because it's not pleasant.
I know. It's like a doctor trying to figure out a way to tell somebody, like, how long they have left. This is just amazing.
It's not pleasant.
Yeah. But it's, like, hard for me to, like, because I have, like, high pain tolerance or, like, you know, I don't know if I've been food poisoned now, you know, because I'm not sure.
I think you'll know.
Yeah, no, that's what people say. But a lot of, like, I dislocated my shoulder once. I didn't know until I went into the doctor, because I was like, you know, I must be getting old. My shoulder's like tweaky, you know? And then it was like that for about like over 3 months, I think. Anyways.
All right. Moving forward. Back to the food topic. So I wanted to ask this question. A lot of the times, you know, people get food poisoning when they're out of a country on vacation. But usually those places are places with a lower living standard. Yes. Here we are in Korea, a living standard that, you know, I would say is amongst the highest in the world, right? By no means second rate or considered third world, you know, as long as you're in a major city. If you're out in nowhere, well, out in nowhere in like America or Canada is still out in nowhere, sure. Right? So if you're here in a larger city, it's Korea. Is that an excuse? Is it a viable just kind of thing to pawn it off on?
Well, here's the thing about Korea is, when I recently, I got food poisoning, I think it was, 3 weeks ago. I was actually amazed that it took so long. I thought I would have gotten food poisoning sooner.
Oh, you mean, living here in Korea?
Yeah, living here in Korea. Because, you know, some of the things that I see in restaurants, whether it's Korean restaurants or whether it's foreign restaurants here in Korea, it's appalling.
But you eat it anyway? Is that what you're getting?
Well, what's the choice? You know, because it's not just one or two places. It's, I think it's the standard here. Mm. And so, you know, when I first moved here, and, you know, I've been coming here on regular visits, but when I first moved here, you actually see some of these things because a lot of these restaurants are open kitchen. And these things would not fly in the U.S. And coming from my background, and I see this, it's absolutely appalling, the standards of how the kitchen operates in terms of cleanliness. So I was actually surprised it took that long to get food poisoning. And what I'm really shocked is that I haven't gotten food poisoning as often.
I'm kind of shocked as well, actually. I would agree with some of the open kitchen practice, or some of the kitchen practices, right? Whether it's open or not, I know that when I go into a place and you know, the waiters don't wash their hands, that probably reflects on the cooking staff as well, right? Back to that question.
Laves las manos. That's Spanish for wash your hands. The sign is on every restaurant in California.
So is that the only Spanish you know?
Yo quiero Taco Bell.
Okay, so we're in Korea, and it does seem like culturally, the value for sanitation isn't really there, so it could be kind of pawned off or excused in that sense, right?
Well, let me ask this then, because common sense dictates that you would like to maintain a certain standard of cleanliness in the kitchen, especially when you're handling other people's food. But back to your point when you're saying, I'm surprised it's taken so long for me to get sick, and the place that you got sick really wasn't, let's say, a Korean place that you're more likely to see this. It happened in a big conglomerate American fast food chain, right? So then, to an extent, is all of this care and, you know, all of that attention that we put on to, like, food safety and everything, is that just sort of like a Western ideal? Or is it, and realistically, you know, let's say 98% of the time, it's okay to have, let's say, what we would call the lower standards? And are we just doing it just to play safe?
It's a good question, because I think in certain parts of the U.S., the health standards are almost ridiculous. And I've been in, you know, I've worked in different cities throughout the U.S., and certain health departments that I've had to deal with in the U.S., you know, when you get canned products into the restaurant, they want a label and a date on canned products when the canned product already has an expiration date. But they want you to put an expiration date on it as well, the day that you received it and the day that you figure it's no longer valid, which is obviously the date that's on the can.
Yeah, unless you actually open it up, right. In which case you have to use it even sooner.
But I think certain health departments in the U.S. actually take it too far. Mm. A lot of health standards are common sense. A lot of it is. I mean,
wash your hands after, right, wear a hairnet.
It's how you would want to eat your own food.
Yeah.
To me. And so if I go to the bathroom and before I prep my own meal at home, of course I'm going to wash my hands.
What?
No one's going to come to Cali Kitchen anymore. No, that's the death of Cali Kitchen there.
I just meant that it's for you. I'm like,
they kind of backfired there on you, Chuck.
But I mean, it's a lot of health standards are common sense. There's no secret about it. I mean, obviously, you know, in New York City, when you go to get your health certification for food handling, there are a lot of science. And it's almost like being back in school again. It's like taking like a biology class again, because you're studying, you know, what microbes are dangerous and at what temperatures these microbes exist and, you know, so forth. Here in Korea, I don't think that stuff exists, right?
Yeah, right. I probably could be wrong. Safe to assume. A lot of the businesses that we're talking about, I feel that I think about when we're talking about safety standards are not necessarily the newer ones, but definitely like you said, the market, the Shijang style ones, right, that you mentioned, places like that where there's just the food, quite frankly, is just out in the open. Not even some, a lot of times out of the restaurant, especially in a Xinjiang, right? People are preparing it where people are just walking.
It's open air.
Yeah, it's totally open air. And there's tons of traffic. So we're coming at it from these two different angles of, are we just overprepared in the West or are they underprepared in other places? But these are all, you know, cultural relatives, right? We have a different culture in the West thinking about things.
Right. And I think there's a different cultural expectation in a lot of ways where, I mean, I think when you come to Korea, I think in general, a lot of us, like I immediately noticed that people don't wash their hands as much. You know, I mean, I joked about lavas las manos, but that's a sign you see in every restroom in every restaurant. Like it's mandated by the state, you know? And I think when you are taught certain things a certain way, whether it's like, hey, germs, like we think germs and cooties can kill you at a young age, you know?
But here's a question, like as guys, you know, when we use public restrooms, whether it's here in Korea or whether it's in the U.S., I notice that a lot of guys don't wash their hands. I think that's regardless of whether it's Korea or the U.S.
I would disagree. I think there's a big disparity of how many guys in Korea, like actually there.
I think it's a lot, like in, like just a lot all around. But I would also agree that there's a big disparity. Like there's far too many in America, but there's far far too many over here.
Where it's not the norm for people to wash their hands in Korea. That's not how they're educated. Like that's what teachers are saying, and also people like if you observe them, it's.
But I think even in the U.S., I think the majority of guys don't wash their
hands. I would disagree with that. I mean, maybe where you're from, but I mean, like, no, I'm just saying like.
Well, I mean, I've lived in California as well, so
okay,
California is no exception.
No, I think in general the way you're educated is you did something dirty. You have to wash your hands. And I actually walked this line of thinking with a Korean person once because I was like, hey, so, you know, like, because actually a lot of Korean men will do this. Actually, they'll wash their hands right when they go into the restroom and then they'll do what they got to do. When they leave, they don't wash. And so I was like, hey, let me ask you something. And I was like, so I saw that.
They wash prior to.
Exactly. Because... So I asked him, I was like, so, and he was a fairly young guy. So I asked him, so you washed your hand before and you did something dirty. And I noticed that you didn't wash your hand after. Do you think that's like, you know, do you think that should be okay? Or, and he thought about it and he was like, he kind of laughed and then he still didn't wash his hands. He just left. So for me, that's what's so ridiculous about it. For them, like if you talk them through it logically, you're like, that doesn't make sense. Right. But for them, that's a standard. That's their standard operating procedure. I think that's like it's one thing to be like this is your norm and you deviate from it. I think most people, if you pointed it out to them, they're like, oh, I should wash my hands.
But
you know?
But this guy walked out without washing his hands anyway.
But for me, I think that is more of a Korean thing versus like so. There was a news special that you know my friend saw and then we talked about was like. They simulated what a Korean guy does in the bathroom and a Korean girl does in the bathroom. So it was kind of like a side-by-side thing where a Korean guy goes in, Korean girl goes in. And, you know, Korean girl's doing her makeup and all this stuff. And the Korean guy, he doesn't wash his hands when he comes out. But the funny thing is this, in the simulation, the Korean guy and the Korean girl are dating. And they come out and the Korean guy touches the girl's face right after, you know? And it's just like I think they were trying to make a point that... We're not understanding where, you know, like the germs are coming from. Like these people are not, you know, like it's.
Listeners, you know, if the Korean population, because I can't, you know, we don't know we're all guys here, but if the Korean female population is disproportionately not washing their hands or they're really great about it, hit us up in the comments.
But here's the thing. Technically speaking, it's much easier to get sick from contact with the back end than the front end.
Right.
Right?
Okay.
So if, like, this guy who...
Your friend.
Or this video that you saw.
Yeah.
You know, if he urinated and then touched his girlfriend's face.
Okay.
99.9%, she's not going to get ill.
Okay.
He can just be like, "Yeah, there's no bacteria in urine."
Well, there is, but it's not as harmful to the human body as feces.
Yeah, it's less likely to, you know, cause her to be in a lot of trouble, right?
So is this why there's less washing of hands?
I think regardless of that, like I said, it's more of a cultural thing, right?
Like, because I would hope to God that if these guys are going to the bathroom to take a I would hope to God that they're washing their hands. Whereas if they're just taking a piss.
All right.
Is it the same level of standards?
I think the standards are lower in Korea.
For me, it should be the same.
It should be the same.
You should wash your hands whether you're doing number one or number two.
But regardless, what they're thinking is that they did something dirty,
right,
and it doesn't need washing. That's, for me, where the problem in logic happens.
Okay.
Yeah.
But there is that better safe than sorry mentality that absolutely. We spoke of,
especially
right?
Especially when you're dealing with not your own food, but someone else's food.
Indeed.
But also, I think in America, there is that whole, you know, like, let's make sure we don't get sued culture. Like,
absolutely.
We have to have these standards. I mean, there's probably a reason why. I mean, I'm not saying it's a valid reason, but there's probably a reason why they started asking, you know, like, overly. Label it when you get it, and labeling,
absolutely,
you know, when it's expired. It's probably because something that we thought was okay wasn't okay at some point.
Sure, absolutely.
Right. So, I mean, you know, people can be overly cautious, but they are usually overly cautious for certain said reasons, sure. Right?
All right. Let's jump this forward to a little bit more local. Are there any foods that we should avoid or be more cautious about? Of course, you know, anything raw is just like wherever you are in any country, anything raw is something to be quite cautious about, right? Make sure you smell it first. But in terms of like domestic Korean food, I had qualms with eating raw beef before I came here. But then the first time I had it, Yukwe, I loved it. Now, I've never really thought too much about it. I don't get it that often. I haven't had food poisoning from it, so I haven't been scarred by that. But I can't off the top of my head think of foods that are particularly dangerous due to food poisoning. Also, like, a lot of foods are fermented, you know, kind of prevents that. So are there any foods that you would recommend people think twice about eating due to fears of food poisoning?
No, because for me, all three times that I've had food poisoning, it was at establishments that are known for cooking food. So I've had food poisoning from BK this time. I've had food poisoning from a fried chicken place in the States.
Really?
And I've had food poisoning from it was like an Italian French bistro. And the food that did me in that day was rabbit.
Wow.
And so there's like, and I eat raw food all the time, and you would figure by percentage at least one of the food poisoning instances, for me at least, would have been from a raw food, and it wasn't.
Because I think with raw food, there's a potential that you would have like less fresh or bad raw food, but that's different from food poisoning, right? Right. So
I feel like the same could happen even with cooked food. You could get bad cooked food. Like,
absolutely.
I remember going to a restaurant in Itaewon when it first opened, and I was there with my girlfriend, and she ordered the fried chicken. And when she ate right after that first bite, she said it's got this really gamey flavor. And we had talked to the owner or the chef, and their excuse from the kitchen was, "Oh, well, that's because it's the last one of the night." And I was like, "What the hell does that matter if it's the last one of the night? What, you know, why does that mean? What,
it's the least freshest,
right? Does that mean this piece of chicken's been sitting out for the last 12 hours before it hit the fryer?" And you know, and I'm sure, you know, and she was definitely one of those that if she had that inkling that it was bad, then it was going to be psychosomatic. She was going to have food poisoning by the time she got home. Yeah. And of course, by the time she got home, you know, she
but
was
you
ill.
Were fine.
I was fine. I didn't, you know, I just took a bite and I noticed it tasted funny.
Ah.
But she was just ill from that, you know. So yeah, it's just as likely to happen with cooked food as it is with raw food, let's say.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So here we are at this very interesting point, because we're saying it seems like the consensus here is that sanitation culture is quite different, and that bleeds into the culinary culture and sanitation. However, we're also saying that within the context of Korean food, but you're not more likely, any more likely to get food poisoning. So are we also saying, by extension, that our sanitation standards don't really matter?
I think it matters.
Oh, of course, like, it matters, but to an extent, like...
Whether we've been lucky,
yeah,
or whether I've been lucky, but, you know, you have to take caution with other people's food. That's my bottom line as a chef.
And would you like to see people more cautious in Korea?
I would like to see better standards put in place. There are no standards here in Korea. There is no regular health department that comes by every 3 months to check up on your restaurant and do surprise inspections. So, you know, it's basically you're putting the responsibility up to the restaurant owner and the chefs.
You know, that makes a lot of sense considering right now there's that whole like avian influenza thing with the eggs. Egg prices mm-hmm. are sky high right now, right? And that makes sense if that is the only line of defense for people getting their ingredients, right? To avoid food poisoning, like there's no other preparation stuff, right? It should be the most important line of defense, obviously. Right, but
at the restaurant level, there is really no standard other than the restaurant owner and the chef at the restaurant. So... to me, I would like to see better standards put in place. Does it need to be as strict as, you know, a place like New York City? Maybe not. But for me, as a background in cooking, you know, I take those precautions anyways. But actually, when we were actually at Sweet Oak, I actually was having a conversation with Gus. My question to him was, and I asked this with a lot of chefs who went to culinary school, what was the biggest takeaway from going to cooking school? And his biggest takeaway was cleanliness and sanitation, meaning that by going to cooking school, he actually learned how to work clean, how to, you know, clean as you go. And that was his big takeaway from culinary school. It wasn't for me, but, you know, it was actually surprising to hear someone say that that was their big takeaway.
And I think he was contrasting it to working in Korea.
Sure.
And saying that as he was working with people, he realized that that was a big difference.
Right. And he was saying that, you know, he didn't even realize that he was cleaning as he was going in. He was being extra clean compared to like some of the other people that he's seen. So that was actually quite surprising.
Yeah. He mentioned that he would hire people and, you know, they would get in tiffs about, like, no, why would we do it this way?
Right.
You know?
And I think one of the things that he said was, you know, that Koreans weren't afraid of chicken, meaning,
right,
you know, as a Western chef, you know, we're all taught, or, you know, basically you work with raw chicken on a cutting board.
Right.
You either use a new cutting board for your vegetables. Exactly. Or you actually clean that cutting board and then, you know, you use it again.
Yeah.
But you don't go from raw chicken or raw beef or whatnot to
anything vegetables. Else. Yeah.
And this is cross-contamination as we're taught in the Western world. But here in Korea, it's, you know, the chicken's fresh. It's okay.
Interesting. Well, big shout out to Gus for hosting you guys over in Sweet Oak and Wanju, right? I will make it out there at some point. And we're coming down to the end of the episode here, unless you guys have anything else to add.
I'd like to ask Thomas one more thing.
How many rolls of toilet paper I went through during my food sickness?
Yes. No, I wanted to ask, are there any things that, you know, or I mean, even anybody else could chime in, like that are kind of like indicators or things that you would look out for? Because, I mean, one of the things that we... you know, think about when we travel to even third world countries is the water, right?
Yes.
We're like, okay, be careful when you eat at food stalls or different places, if the water's not boiled or, you know, like if it's, you know, and a lot of things, like one thing James mentioned earlier was about, you know, like look at how many people they go through, you know, for freshness as well, mm-hmm. you know? And just, I mean, what are things that we can give maybe hints to our listeners about, you know, what to look out for, whether to walk out of a place if...
Well, for me, if I'm ever going to a new restaurant, especially if it's, I won't even say if especially, but if it's a new restaurant that I've never been to, and one thing that I always, the one rule that I always go by is, if the restaurant is empty at peak hours, I'm not going in. And no matter how much I've heard great things from the internet or whatever recommendations I've gotten, I've gone into a lot of restaurants because of recommendations. And it's peak hour and they have like one or two tables. I usually walk right back out.
Yeah, the biggest indicator for me is how much business they draw in, right?
And that's always a good indicator, because if they're busy, you know, Lord knows, you know, if they're busy, they can't be getting that many people food poisoned.
I also like to look at just generally the conditions. If you can see the conditions, like we're here in Cali Kitchen and you can see everybody in the kitchen if you're walking up to order, right? And generally that's the case at a lot of mom and pop, like kimbap joints. But a lot of the places that you order from for bedao, you know, just takeout food that gets delivered to your house, it's really opaque. And I just think unless you know the place already or someone tells you it's okay, you're rolling the dice every single time. Yeah, there's just a lot involved there.
But you know how in the Western world where you're taught, or one of the sayings is you can always tell how clean a restaurant is by going to the bathroom. Right. I don't think that applies to Korea. Because there's a lot of nasty bathrooms in Korea.
A lot of the bathrooms are not in the restaurant themselves.
Right, exactly.
As well.
They're in the hallway.
And it's not just their bathroom.
Yeah.
Right. It's shared.
Right, so there's no incentive to keep your own bathroom clean when shared by so many people who are not doing that as well.
I thought you were going to say it the other way around. What? You're like, just because they have a clean bathroom in Korea. Like, you know, I thought it was going to be the other way.
And I like to take a look at the staff themselves. So sure. If they're like, they don't look clean enough, like I wouldn't shake their hand, then I'm not going to eat the food that they serve me. But that just is me, like anecdotally. There's no, like, I'm not sure if there's a basis for that.
Well, when the server comes to your table... Here, you know, give me your hand. When the server comes to your table, basically all you have to do is just do this and look at the crud underneath their fingernails. If they have crud under their nails, you walk out.
I'm so glad I washed my hands before this. All right, is there anything else? Because there is one question I'd like to ask, and I feel like it's going to be a short one.
Okay.
Since you've all served food before or still continue to serve food on a daily basis... Have you ever had someone come back to you at any point in your life and they're like, yeah, I wasn't feeling well or I got really sick? Have you yourself induced any of this pain that we're talking about?
No. Have I been accused of it? Yes.
Really? Okay.
Yes.
I want to hear that story.
And the reason why I know it couldn't have been scientifically is they told me at the very end of the meal... They asked for the chef to come out.
After they met you.
They asked for the chef to come out, and they said that they're feeling ill.
Wait, was that... So they saw you and they felt ill?
No, they felt ill before they saw me.
Oh, okay, okay.
But they had a bad experience.
Right.
I see.
And they were trying to pass it off as food poisoning. And I told them in their face that... I will take care of their bill. Get the out. Don't ever come back.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Surprised you took care of their bill.
I have no problems taking care of their bill as long as they don't come back.
Yeah, I think that was played pretty well. Chuck? James?
Nope.
For us, we've... Like the biggest thing for us is the way we were handling our chicken... We par cook our chicken, or we cook it, and then they weren't cooking all the way through the way some of our staff was doing it. So there were ones where I had to stop it, and then we had to redo our whole process of like, okay, we got to make sure this never happens, you know? Because I caught it before it went out. But...
Good on you. Well, we will be back in a couple of weeks. Thanks as always for tuning in. Make sure to click the like button. Foodie Call on Facebook. We're going to find a way to separate Foodie Call from the rest of the G1 podcast family of podcasts, and that's going to be exciting as well. You can look forward to that. But for now, I am GP.
I'm Chuck.
The James. Cute one. Thomas.
We'll catch you in the next one.